Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m., streaming live at richarddugan.com. You can go to the radio show's page to listen to the podcast, as well as SoundCloud and iTunes. We're also on Facebook, so check us out there. There's a page there for Tell Me Your Story. We certainly hope that you will go there and see what we have to offer. We also encourage you to go to our guest's website. We'll be giving you the email. Well, we might, but we'll be giving you the website address, the URL, the address to where you can get all kinds of good information about what our guests are talking about here on the program and other things as well. If it resonates with you, we encourage you to follow up and continue to pursue that. If it doesn't, hey, come back later. Who knows? Maybe something else will click for you. Today, we're going to talk about a subject that is very interesting and also probably somewhat misunderstood by a lot of folks. We're going to talk about angels. The Angels, the Discovery, and we're going to be talking with the author. Pen name is Star Lee Bryant, and I want to welcome you to our program today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you inviting me on the program. It's a real honor.
I didn't even think to ask if you want to stick with the pen name or we can give out your given name.
So we can stick with the pen name for the book, Star Lee Bryant, but a.k.a. my real name is Chanel Walker Bailey.
And that's also the name of the website as well, Chanel Walker Bailey, and we'll spell that out for folks here shortly, and people can get more information. I'm going to start at the beginning. We like to define our terms from time to time when there's... I don't want to say it's not really controversy per se, but it's just not a full understanding thereof from your perspective. What are angels?
So angels, you know what? It is, like you said, I do agree with you that it is sometimes misunderstood, but I want to go into saying that regardless of what our level of faith is, I think truly to some respect that we all have a kind of a fascination with angels, so to speak. You know, like around Valentine's Day, we get kind of caught up with the little cherubs and how cute they are with the little hearts. And, you know, if somebody passes away, we kind of look a little bit deeper than beyond what our eyes can see. And we have little symbols and necklaces and bracelets and charms with angels hanging on them. And I don't know if you know about the Guardian Angels, which is a group that nationally around the country, they wear their little red little hats and they go around and they just protect our community.
Oh, yes. Boy, they popped up around the 80s.
I haven't seen one in a long time, but they still exist.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so from that regard, if you just take faith out of the matter, I think we do, all of us in some kind of way, have a certain respect for angels and some type of protection beyond the human eye.
Well, now, if we're going to come and you yourself are the philosophy that you shall we say adhere to or follow is Christianity,
yes,
and God created every single one of the angels, right?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
Yes, he did.
And so, if that is the case, I've kind of gone around in circles with folks on this. And just to give you a very, very quick background, I worked for 15 years for a Christian radio station back in the 80s and 90s. By the way, I do remember, I almost had his first name. Sliwak is his last name. He's the gentleman who founded the Angels, the Guardian Angels group back in, I think it was the 80s.
Okay, exactly. That's when I remember them the most. I'm from Philadelphia, and so they were all over the place in Philadelphia.
But when we start talking about this whole aspect of angels, you mentioned the guardian angels, and I don't mean, and now I'm not, I, let me rephrase that, not the guardian angels, the archangels. Yes. Are there different levels, I guess? I'm thinking in military terms, different ranks of angels, because I know that, for example, little cherubs around Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. Those are probably more man-conceived constructs rather than real aspects. And at the same time, well, they didn't just come out of thin air somewhere. Somebody thought them up somewhere. So I'm wondering, is there a hierarchy in that regard?
So from what I understand, I'm not a biblical scholar by far, but from what I understand from the scriptures in the Bible that there are archangels that sit at the right hand of the throne of Christ. There are fallen angels that, you know, Satan and Lucifer is considered he was at the right hand of God before he decided to turn against him. And now he is sort of the God over this world in combat with God's kingdom. Mm-hmm. And so that is the level of angels that I am aware of. Again, I'm not a Bible scholar, but I am very, very in tune with understanding that angels are in the midst of us, both good and bad.
I know that we often read about, for example, Gabriel blowing the horn, Archangel Gabriel. And I've heard of, Raphael and, oh my goodness, my mind is just drawing a blank. But I'm curious as to, from your perspective, why are angels important for us to be aware of in our lives?
You know, I believe we need to be aware of them in our lives because we have so many questions about things that we can't explain in the natural. A lot of times when negative and bad things happen, a lot of people who may not really be in tune with the scriptures in the Bible, sometimes we get angry and we may blame God for things that are happening. But angels are all around us, both good and both bad, and they are in a spiritual warfare fight. And so I think we need to be aware that God does not cause every negative thing that happens in our lives. We are really, truly in a fight with the negative army of angels, which is under Satan and Lucifer, and they are in battle for over the human life.
I know as children, we're often told that we have, quote unquote, a guardian angel looking over us.
Right.
And I find this interesting, too. I remember getting into conversations with people back when I was with the other station, and I used to produce a radio program. I produced it. I wasn't the one that recorded it, per se. It was called the Radio Family Rosary Program, and somebody called me up and just started to give me all kinds of problems about how it's not biblical, it's not Christian. It's like, do you know that every single word from the rosary is in the Bible? But what the point that I was trying to get across to them was, what difference does it make if we are asking for intercession from Mary or the angels, as opposed to if I was to come to you and say, would you pray for me? I need help. Is that something that we're able to sort of access and or activate with angels? Is that part of their job description?
That's a cute way of saying it. So what I believe from reading the scripture, there are only 293 references of angels within the Holy Bible. And so all of those scriptures define the purpose of angels as being protectors, as being guides, as being messengers. Those are the three roles that I truly believe that angels have: guides, protectors, and messengers. So when it comes to the intercession part that you're talking about, from my faith perspective as a believer in the sacrifice of Christ Jesus, you don't necessarily have to go to any man or any woman for confessions about anything. You can go straight to the Savior, Jesus Christ, because that is the reason why he died. You can go straight to God and go straight to Christ with any of mm-hmm. your prayers and any of your ask or any of your concerns because of what he did on the cross.
Mm-hmm. What is your personal experience with angels?
That's an interesting question. So over the years, I have felt angels in my midst, you know, a presence that's there where I felt comfortable, where I felt safe, where I felt something was hovering around me that gave me a sense of peace. And so the most experience that I've had with angels is actually in this journey with writing this book, Angels, the Discovery, which was just published and released in November of 2017. And I was literally infiltrated and my spirit was completely disturbed with this inspiration about this story, Angels. I was actually trying to write something that was nonfiction. I never thought that I was a fiction writer. And so I was trying to write like a self-help kind of overcoming story of what it is that I've experienced, but I was infiltrated in my spirit about this whole story about angels, and I couldn't shake it. I had to sit down and I had to write it in order to, I guess, get it out of get it out of the way, so to speak, so that I could do what I thought that I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I know for sure that it was God prompting me to write these words.
You know, when I get those promptings, sometimes if I don't follow through, they won't go away. I had that experience bicycling back in Phoenix, and I was heading for work, and the blocks were very long because I was traveling through farm fields. Okay. And I was getting this prompting to turn at the next corner, turn left and go up this way and da-da-da-da. And I went a half mile down the same road I was on, and that prompting got stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And I'm going, I can't do this. I had to turn around, literally. I went back to the street where I was supposed to make that turn. I made the turn and then continued on to work. And I often say to people, look, if you're even going to listen to the promptings, why aren't you going to follow them? If you're not going to follow them, why bother even listening?
Right. That could very well be your messengers letting you know danger is ahead. Don't go that way. Yeah. Don't do this. Don't do that. You have to listen to those things that are coming from within.
I sometimes wonder, too, if maybe it's sort of a test saying, do you really trust me? Do you really? And just do this, okay? Just
right.
Show me that you trust me and we're good to go, you know, kind of thing.
That's a good way to put it.
When you first started putting this work together, you said you had no plans on writing a fictional story here, but yeah. You also mentioned something else, and I want to have you expound on it too, because you make reference in the dedication to the fact that this is a series that's being written. Is that right? So this is not the first. This is not the last book, as far as you're aware.
No, it isn't. And I wasn't aware of that until almost the last maybe 4 or 5 chapters as I was writing and concluding the book.
Had you known this was going to be a series from the get-go, how would you feel like about that?
I don't know, because literally when I first got the initial prompting in my spirit, I thought I was writing a book to the world to comfort people when unexpected deaths occur, especially unexpected deaths of children, of young people. You didn't see it coming, that kind of thing. And giving believers or people who have a level of hope the experience that their loved ones could actually be going through on the other side of life. And so I thought I was just supposed to be explaining heaven and this new life and the whole nine. And then the inspiration took a turn and I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't think that this is the end of this book.
Absolutely. I know that you and I probably would agree as far as our observations of movies and television, as far as taking liberties. But I'm curious as to your observations and perspective on some of the programs that we've seen over the years that have made an attempt to produce programs about angels. And the one, of course, that comes to my mind first and foremost is, of course, Touched by an Angel, which was, I thought it was a wonderful program. And again, we can set aside more the accuracy. Would you say that the messages that were coming across were good messages that really were really trying to help folks watching to because almost every single program dealt with the passing of someone.
Right. Right. And that's true. And to tell you the truth, the topic of angels has been in and out of my life over the years, but I was never fully like going after researching, watching every television and every program concerning angels. I have watched a couple of series of Touched by an Angel and have been inspired by some of the depictions of the purpose of angels within that series. I've seen some movies about angels, and it's always wooing the viewer into a level of comfort when somebody does pass, because that's probably one of the most painful experiences that we all endure as a human being. And needing to be comforted so that you can heal and move forward in a healthy way is definitely necessary. So, I mean, I encourage those type of programs by far.
Talk to me about dreams and their relation to this subject of angels and, again, the whole aspect of comforting and caring for us in this particular life.
So I truly believe that angels come to bring us messages in various ways. I mean, they can speak to us through other people. They can speak to us through a television program. They can come to us and give us messages in dreams or give us a discerning spirit. Like when you said you were driving down the road and you felt like, oh, I shouldn't go there. I believe that was a message that was delivered to you from God through your angels, your assigned angels. And so I've had experiences where I've had dreams and I've had angels delivering certain messages to me. And, you know, some of them I woke up and just thought, oh, that didn't mean anything, but then I would get confirmation and something else will come to confirm that wasn't just a dream. That was a personal message for you to take heed to have some action with, to call somebody, you know, to do a certain thing, whatever that act, whatever that message was the details of that message was delivered to me for.
I think it's fascinating, just in general, because we're always looking for answers to our questions, solutions to our problems, getting through this, that, the other. I mean, here on the Central Coast, I mean, you live in a small little state of Delaware, and I don't know how much stuff happens there as far as wildfires and mudslides and those kinds of things, which we've been facing here on the Central Coast, Santa Barbara and Montecito and so forth. I mean, I've lived here 12 years, moving from Phoenix, Arizona, and I left Arizona because I couldn't take the heat. And of course, what happens is one fire after another. So I exchanged one form of heat for another.
Another, right.
But I have to tell you that it's wearing. And I know that this last go around in 2017 and then, of course, early 2018, not just I, but others are just finding it really, I guess the best word I can think of is we're all wasted. I mean, it's just we're exhausted and spent, and it's like, enough already. Could we have a boring 365 days where none of this stuff happens, and we can just relax and enjoy the life that we're living?
Yeah, and I wish that was the truth. I mean, although I live in the smallest state, in the smallest state, there's much activity that happens here, not natural disasters, but we do have, it's a city. And so there are crimes, there are unexpected events, there are things that do happen that can be just as devastating. And so I can only lean on my level of faith when I hear and see things like that happening, that we walk by faith and not by sight. If we continue to look with our natural eye, we are going to be devastated. But if we look internally within our spirits, we'll understand that there is so much more going on behind the spiritual realm than with our natural eye. Yeah. We'll always be misled if we only consider what's going on in our lives with our natural eye. The scripture says that we will have and we will endure troubles always. There's no way of getting away from it. You know, I wish we did have 365 days where nothing happened and there was a calm. But since the beginning of time, you know, Adam and Eve, they experienced trouble. Trouble is never going to go anywhere. We do have to find a healthy way to battle with our troubles. And for me, it just happens to be with the scriptures.
The angels are a big part of your life now. And as you mentioned, you've had experiences throughout your life. And I'm curious as to the people that you come in contact with, because I would venture that your, shall we say, your book tour, and of course, just the speaking that you do as a motivational speaker and so forth, takes you to all different kinds of venues. This seems to be a subject that would be pretty well accepted by just about everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would agree. For people, again, who are looking for answers, I mean, with my book, I have gotten feedback because I initially thought that the book was going to be for young people. It is written on a sixth grade reading level, so anybody can read it. From the age of 12, I would recommend it and up. But mostly adults have been reading the book. And I've gotten people come back to me to say, oh, my goodness, Chanel, when I read the book, I really felt like I had a serious heavenly experience. It drew me closer to understanding that my nephew that died or my baby that I lost, or my mom that I lost, or somebody that just left their life either unexpectedly or got sick and they knew it was coming, provided them with a level of comfort that, you know, this is going to be okay. You know, this experience after this life, it's not over. My family member is okay.
I have to say that I had one of those dreams that you were referring to a few years after my grandmother on my mother's side passed away. And I was fairly young when she did pass away. And it upset me so that my mother almost removed me from the church because I was so upset. But I had this wonderful dream, and I actually saw my grandmother, and she came over and gave me a hug as if to say, everything's okay.
Yep.
I mean, and the visions, or I should say the various elements within the dream were elements that were not real in this world until 1996. I was driving a white van on a freeway. Well, I wasn't driving when I had the dream. I couldn't drive. I was legally blind at the time. And in 96, got a lens implant. And then my folks along the way, about, I think it was 98 or 99, they sold me their Dodge Caravan, which just happened to be white.
Wow.
And of course, now I'm driving on the freeways of Phoenix. And then in 2006, I found myself in a place I really never thought I would be, and that is driving from Phoenix to Santa Barbara through Los Angeles. And I looked around me. It was around 7 o'clock in the evening as we're making our way across LA. And I'm looking around going, I'm driving through LA traffic. This is wild.
Wow.
Just, you know, I mean, and you never, if you are able to remember the dreams, and I myself, you know, honestly, that's one dream that obviously stays with me.
Right.
I can't remember, though, the most recent dreams that I've had. If they're sort of an integral part of helping us through our day-to-day from the angels, would you say that that's something that we might want to try to foster, and that is the remembrance of those dreams? Because I understand that whether we remember them or not, we're dreaming almost every night, according to some studies.
There are some dreams, I agree with you. There are some dreams that we cannot shake. They come to us so strong and they're so vivid and they feel so real that we can never forget the experience. So we need to hold on to those, especially that one that you had there, because you need to remember, especially when you're facing a very difficult situation in your life, that this is so beyond my experience. This is so beyond me in the natural. There is a supernatural spiritual presence that has more things under control than I can ever do.
Let me ask you about some of the more specific things that you can share with us about your experiences, because I think it will help a lot of folks. This book, even though it's fiction, even though it's a children, as you stated, it's, you know, sixth grade level children's story. Is this based upon any of your own personal experiences? Are there any things in there that that you're sort of sharing with us surreptitiously through through the story?
So that's funny, because it's not packaged as a children's story. It's for anybody age 12 and up, just
sure,
for clarification.
Okay.
But there is not one experience that I've had personally that's written in this book. When I say that every single word was inspired by something beyond me, it's inspired by something beyond me. I cannot take any credit. I'm just the vessel that was used to write it. Can't take any credit. No experiences at all.
It's been out since November, and obviously, folks, there are reviews that we certainly can read. But when you have traveled about and people have actually come up to you, can you share with us some of the other stories that you kind of sort of alluded to that a little bit, that you have had people that maybe have actually that have moved you? I mean, that you were actually surprised at the impact that your work has, the work that you are putting out here has had.
Yeah, there was one person that called me and she read the book, And she said that she was so overwhelmed. This was a woman in her 50s. She was so overwhelmed by the description of heaven that at one point in time, she began to cry and weep right in her bed while she was reading the book. Another person came up to me and said that she had been harboring this level of hate, not necessarily hate, but really deep hurt because she wanted a child and she never had a child and she lost her baby. And she was very upset about that. And when she read Angels, she said she was so comforted by another portion in the book that I was able to describe. And she said she just felt so comforted. Another woman told me she lost her nephew and he was about 16 or 17 years old and she had been a little bit bitter about that. But then after reading Angels, she said she got a revelation that he is truly okay. I mean, I've gotten testimony after testimony and these are all from adults that have considered the book. I have not had very many children read the book yet. They are adults mostly being comforted, but I want to try to get the message out to children as well. I think the book is coming out at a prevalent time. We are facing, like you said, so many natural devastations. We have these mass shootings. We have these unexpected deaths. And people, again, are left with more questions and wondering, well, God, if you are so real and you are so big, why are these things happening? And so Angels of Discovery will give a depiction of why these things are happening and how we can be comforted that we will be with our loved ones again if we choose to.
Is there any way for us through? Is that primarily the only way that we would be able to have any kind of, shall we say, internal connection with those loved ones who have passed on, is through these messages and or the angels?
That's my belief, absolutely. In the human realm, this is the way that we can know and be, you know, there's one portion in the book where the main character, he doesn't even know that he had this awful experience the way he passed away on Earth. He dies suddenly. He's 14 years old and he dies suddenly. He doesn't realize that he left a family back on Earth completely devastated. They are divided. They are kind of blaming each other. They are just not healing from his loss very well because, again, it was sudden. But he's in heaven and he's enjoying it. He's meeting up with friends. He's meeting up with loved ones that passed away before him. And he is just having the best time of his life and the most wonderful place he's ever experienced. Until he is told and it is revealed to him that he left this family behind. So he goes to visit his family, mainly his mom, and his mom can't see him, but she feels his presence in the room. And instantly she is comforted in knowing that her son is there and that he came to visit her to let her know that he is okay. I truly believe that we have those experiences, that this is, even though it's written kind of as fiction, mm-hmm. it really is real for the believing heart.
So the story is fiction, but some of the elements, if you will, are real things that we can experience in this life. I remember in many of the episodes of, as I mentioned before, Touched by an Angel, they would have these individuals, and obviously this one gal was the only one who could see them, come to her and ask for help to try to resolve whatever issue it was that they needed closure on so they could move on. They could, quote unquote, go into the light or what have you. And I always found that real interesting that there were people who were, capable of actually seeing these folks. And I don't know that that's necessarily realistic, but in terms of angels, are you meeting people who have had the kinds of experiences with angels where it's a very, shall we say, personal relationship, so to speak, almost as if this angel is alive and communicating with them in that respect? Have you had anybody share those kinds of stories with you?
Wow, that is a very appropriate question for right now. And I do have a weekly internet broadcast called Real Bold Truth that airs on Facebook every Monday. And right now I have two people who have had angels encounters that are going to be coming on my show to talk to me about their experience with angels. So that's coming up soon. So that was really ironic that you asked me that question. But yes, I've had people who said they've had real encounters. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I got to interview you on my show. You have to tell me about these encounters.
And it's ChanelWalkerBailey.com, and that is ChanelWalkerBailey.com. We'll be linked to your website as well so that people can listen to the podcast as well as get more information and find out more about you and the work that you're doing. This is very interesting, and I'm quite intrigued by this, and we're going to continue our conversation here. Pen name is Star Lee Bryant, author of the book Angels, The Discovery. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Told you we'd be right back. Doesn't take long. Short little break there, and here we are. Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, and we are here with Star Lee Bryant. And the website, I want to make sure that we give this out a few more times before we wrap the program up. We have a ways to go yet, but Chanel Walker Bailey is the website, is the author, and the website is ChanelWalkerBailey.com. I'll spell that out a little bit later on in the program. Be sure that you check it out, because quite honestly, this is rather interesting. You talk about explaining death and heaven to children, giving comfort to grieving parents, grandparents, and siblings. I have to, I ask this question just because I'm trying to put maybe a fine point on this, but not to be controversial per se. But I found it interesting when I've read the Bible back and forth several times. And I come to the whole aspect of our dying. And we're told that it is appointed for every man once to die, and then the judgment. And then I see the Gospels where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And I'm going, wait a minute, hold it. If it's appointed to every man once to die, then how is Jesus raising this man from the dead, which means he dies twice? And I'm going, something's not right here. I'm trying to understand this. But the bigger question for me is, after a person passes, what is their experience? I have had this curiosity, wanting to know what they're experiencing, not to precipitate my passing prematurely, mind you. But it's like, oh, you went to Disneyland? That must have been a lot. What was that like?
Right.
I'd like to go and experience that and then come home. Well, of course, supposedly we don't get that shot to come home again. Once we're gone, we're gone.
Right.
What is your observation, your perspective on what goes on after the soul, the spirit, the essence that animates the physical body leaves? For whatever reasons it might leave.
And so that's funny, because that is most of the book, Angels, The Discovery. Again, I thought that was the reason why I was writing the book, for that question alone, for people to understand what the experience could be once we leave our physical bodies and enter into heaven. And so the book is extremely descriptive. Like, I even surprised myself as I was reading it back, like, are these truly my words? Like, I feel like I cannot take credit for this, because these are not words or descriptions or a place that I could describe in this level of detail. It's very, very descriptive. So it will walk any reader through what a loved one or what we can experience in heaven, the life that we will be living when we transition from our natural bodies.
So can you help us to understand that? I didn't have this thought when my grandmother passed, But as an adult, I've had people I have known who have. Matter of fact, it's interesting what just flashed in my mind. I went to a memorial service for the husband of a good friend of mine who was working for a station that I was working for at the time back in the early 80s. And I just had this sense that he wasn't really gone. It's like he was in the church or the chapel or wherever it was that we were holding the memorial service. Like, he's still here. But I didn't share that with anybody because I wasn't sure how receptive they would be to that. But that is something that I am extremely curious about. And I'm wondering if you can elucidate on any of that.
I mean, when someone passes away, we still feel their presence. We still remember the sound of their voice, how they smell, how they made us laugh, you know, what their reaction would be in a certain situation. We still remember them. It's still so completely fresh for us. So there are experiences with them in the natural doesn't leave just because we see the person laying in the casket. We see their natural body laying in the casket. I can't necessarily explain, you know, that during a funeral service is their spirit, you know, right there lingering. Those things I don't necessarily know, of course, because I'm still here with you. Mm-hmm. But when I consider the scriptures and I consider the inspiration, I do know that angels are all around and that there are times where our loved ones come to us to provide us a level of comfort that I'm okay. You can let go. You can move on. You can heal. We'll see each other again when it's your turn to come on this side. That I know for sure.
I know that there are a lot of folks who are afraid of death. Of their dying, not just of family and friends, close loved ones, and so forth, but just of their own. How do you address that with people who are in that place?
And so that is one of the purposes again of the book is to provide a sense of relief that death does not have to be feared. We are all going to leave here one day. There's no way of getting around it. We're going to leave here. And so either we can make a decision to stay in our natural mind. There's a scripture in the Bible that I absolutely love, and it says, lean not to your own understanding. And that scripture means do not lean in totality on everything that you believe that you can conjure up in your own mind. Lean on me. And so leaning on me means leaning on every word that comes out of the mouth of God, which are the scriptures. And so if he says that he leaves here and goes to prepare a place for us, which means heaven, that place absolutely is not a place that should be feared. When we transition, the place that we're going to go to is much, much better than our experience here. And that has to do with your level of faith. Either you're going to believe it or you're not. You're either going to walk through this life being scared of the day that you're going to die, or you're going to be in faith and know that when I leave here, I'm going to a much better experience than I'm experiencing here on earth. It's a personal and individual choice.
Do you think that being in fear or being at peace makes any difference as far as what we experience in the next life?
I think it does, because fear doesn't come from God. Scripture says that fear doesn't come from God. So if it doesn't come from God, it comes from the enemy. And so the enemy is tormenting you. You can be a believer and you can walk through life scared all the time. That doesn't mean that you're not going to get a ticket into heaven. But who wants to torment themselves like that and just be scared every waking moment of their life because they just don't know what they're going to go through when they die? I know I don't want to live that way. I want to enjoy every moment of my life as peacefully as I can. And when it's time for me to leave, it's just time for me to leave. And I'm not going with fear.
Another couple of films that I think of in regards to this subject of angels. One was with, one was called, I think it's called Michael. How is it that these names escape me all of a sudden? He was in Welcome Back, Carter. He was in Saturday Night Live. John Travolta.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then there was another one after that I'm thinking of as well, but they were such wonderful movies. As a matter of fact, one of my other guests, he's a cinema analyst. He's a film analyst, not a critic. And, you know, he puts these kinds of films in a particular category of just, you know, heartwarming and so forth. And I have to say that those are great films to watch, especially whether you're going through an experience of a loss. But I know that for us on this side, it's like, okay, I need some help getting through this process. And as you clearly stated earlier, that's part of the job of the angels. You said they're messengers, they're protectors. What was the third thing?
They're messengers, they're protectors, and they guide us. They lead us.
Yeah. And they can, in fact, maybe even to watch some of these to remind us in that regard. And I find it also very interesting, too, that this process with the angels also helps to validate us as important, as valuable. I mean, we are priceless, and that's why they're there.
Exactly. I mean, again, the scripture says that we are God's children. We are his creation. We are his precious, precious beings. And we can choose to believe that, or we can choose not to believe that, but it's still the truth nevertheless.
Yeah. I was sharing with someone not long ago about some of the things that I had heard over the 15 years I had worked at that one station, and some of the messages about how, you know, we're just, you know, because of original sin, we're such lowly worms. We're just, we're not even worth the dirt that's on the bottom of the belly of a snake, or those kinds of things. And I thought, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense.
No.
Because if we had no value, what was the point of the sacrifice in the first place?
Exactly.
And as I continued to process that in my own mind, I'm going, we're priceless. Ergo the sacrifice. He wouldn't have done it otherwise.
Exactly. And that's the reason why we're priceless. That whole sin factor is out there, but we are reconciled to God through the sacrifice of what Christ did on the cross. That's it. That renews us. That gives us a whole new definition, a whole new affiliation. We are connected through God when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior.
Are there any particular angels that... Or let me back that question up. Can we call upon or solicit the assistance of angels, or is that something that is going to happen when we start going through some of these situations in our natural lives?
So again, I'm not a scholar, but this is what I believe. I believe that every single human being has angels protected around them, regardless if they believe or they don't. And so we get these messages and from the Lord, and we get these promptings, we get these utterances in our spirit that we need to come closer to God. And eventually, he doesn't influence our decision. Either we are going to accept him or we're not. He's not going to make us accept him. He will give us messages through angels and through people and through resources that he is real and that we need to draw closer to him, but he's not going to make us. And so eventually we will, as all individuals, make our decision that we're going to believe or we're not going to believe. The angels are there, but they're not going to force our hands.
Yeah.
You know, we have our own choices and decisions to make relative to that.
Yeah, that kind of goes into the next subject of free will. And yet at the same time... At the same time, you know, we want to do God's will, but I came up with this analogy years ago because I thought, you know what, this is my life. I was given this existence, and I need to do something with it. I've always felt, don't know why, but I've always felt that my life has meaning. Because if I didn't feel that way, then what difference does it make? Well, I could rape and pillage and plunder because my life has no meaning. It doesn't matter.
Right.
But I thought of this young man walking in this meadow, and he's got his hands cupped out in front of him, and he's holding his will, his personal will in his hands. And he says, I just want to do God's will. I want to do God's will. And he tosses it in the air. God is moved. He is in tears that one of his creation wants to do his will. And he catches this individual's will, and he's compressing it down into the size of a baseball, and he hurls it back at him, hits him right in the forehead like a 90-mile-an-hour Nolan Ryan fastball, and says, then do something with the life I gave you. You are not a puppet on a string being manipulated by forces you don't understand. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. That is, you know, we live in flesh. And so when knowing that we live in flesh, that means we are going to battle with good and versus evil every single day. We have a million choices to make every single day. And we're either going to do the right thing or we're going to heed to our flesh. And so as believers, we all have a desire to want to do God's will. It's not the easiest thing in the world, again, because we have this consciousness of sin. But as long as we continue to draw more to understanding what his will is and what his purpose is for our lives, listening for his voice, you know, considering those unctions that we are hearing in our spirits, we can get stronger and more mature in doing his will day to day if we continue to, you know, to be conscious of those things.
Well, certainly having angels on one's side doesn't hurt. You know, we can use all the help we can get.
Absolutely.
You know, and they are just another one of the tools that has been provided to us. I think that's one of the other aspects of it as well, that we've been given a lot of different tools. And I think one of the most interesting aspects that I've always found very fascinating was the conversation Jesus was having with his disciples. And they were watching him just do stuff that was just unbelievable to them.
Right.
And they said, hey, can we do that? Is that something we can do? He says, hey, this? Sure. But you guys are going to do even greater things.
Greater things. Exactly. That's what the scripture says.
Yeah. And I've often wondered, wow, of all of the things that are listed in the Gospels, I'm thinking, wait a minute, how do you get greater than a lot of the stuff that he did?
Seems over the top, right?
It really is like, okay, am I going to be able to teleport from one place to another? And I'm being a little facetious, but it's just really interesting to think about. And I remember a book I read back in 1982. It was called The Greatest Miracle in the World by Og Mandino, who has since passed away. Basically, this brief little story about a man who befriends or is befriended by an old man called, his name is Simon, and who refers to himself as a rag picker. And if you look up the definition, back in the day, talks about picking up the refuse, that are just tossed aside. Well, today they would be considered, for example, our homeless population, or anybody that is, I know I hate using this word, but is marginalized, that is pushed aside and is thought to be less than and not part of the community of humanity. And he teaches him this process. And of course, what ends up happening is nobody else ever sees this guy except the main character in the book. And he leaves him with a list of things, some information in a letter that he writes him. And it's just very interesting to me that to me would be one of the greatest miracles in the world, and that is assisting others in transforming their lives.
Absolutely. That's what we're here for when we are believers. We're not here for our own selfish will and own selfish endeavors. We are supposed to be here to assist other people. A lot of times when we go through very, very difficult things and very difficult places, those trials and those tribulations turn into testimonies to help encourage somebody else to bring them through so they can turn around and bring somebody else through and continue to pass the baton to help people live the best quality of life that they can live and to discover the gifts and the things that they have been called here to do. Mm. That's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be perpetual blessings and helping other people.
Can you tell me a little bit about your background, your upbringing? I mean, were you born and raised into a believing family?
I was born and raised into a believing family, but kind of like surface-like. I mean, it wasn't like I had a not a PK kid or anything like that. My grandmother, she is the one that, you know, brought me to the scriptures. She lured me around from church to church. She liked to go to different churches, and my grandmother only read the Book of Psalms. And so that's how I was introduced to the Word of God, is remembering the Book of Psalms when I became a teenager and I began to hit those very difficult places of transitioning from a child to an adult. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what is my purpose? What am I here for? What am I doing? And then I just remembered sitting at my grandmother's side and her reading the Book of Psalms. So I opened up the Bible and began to read the Book of Psalms, and I began to get comforted there. But my curiosity went to extended levels. So I kept going to like the Book of Proverbs and Ephesians and Matthews. And I just started digging and was like, oh my goodness, when they say the Bible is the basics instructions before leaving earth, those were true words for me, because every situation that I faced, I could find a correlating scripture in the Bible to complement that or provide me with an answer. And so when I consider my childhood, I mean, I was born and raised by a single mother. I'm the oldest of three. My father was not around. Unfortunately, he struggled with alcoholism. We were, you know, born and raised in a housing project, and we were on the system regarding, you know, welfare. So I wasn't this privileged kid at all, at all. And so now that I have my own family and I'm married and I have a child, I reflect back on those very, very difficult times in my childhood and trying to provide my own family with something better than what I experienced. But if it had not been for me drawing towards a level of faith and hearing from God, I really, really do not think I would be here today.
You know, I also find it interesting, musicians who talk about their early days and exposure to music, and many, many of them, they performed in their respective churches that they grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they got started.
Right.
And in a manner of speaking, you as well, especially because of your grandmother. Would you consider her to be probably the most influential person in your life?
Oh, hands down, without question. When it comes to my belief system, it definitely was my grandmother. I had a praying grandmother. She would pray for me. And sometimes I didn't understand what her prayers were. And I'm like, why is she always talking about this Jesus stuff? And why is she always talking about God? And, you know, this is me not really having very many experiences in life. Mm-hmm. But then life hit me just like it hits every single one of us. And when it begins to hit every single one of us, we start questioning, okay, why am I here? Why is this happening? There's got to be some other answers. Why am I having these visions? Why am I having these experiences? There is something else beyond what I am naturally experiencing, and I have to find those answers and put these pieces of this puzzle together.
Hmm. Here's sort of a side question. How did you come up with the pen name Starley Bryant?
Oh, wow. You're asking some wonderful questions, because they all correlate to my childhood. So Starley Bryant, I didn't want to publish this book with a pen name. I wanted to come out with it with, you know, Chanel Walker Bailey. And I had a dream, and I was prompted in my dream that I needed to name it Starley Bryant. I'm like, why? What is this name coming from? So Lee is actually my mother's middle name, and Bryant is my father's last name. So when you put the entire name together, it represents, through the trials and tribulations of Lee and Bryant, a star was born. And so that's what the name means. My mom and dad had a very tumultuous relationship filled with some abuse. And in the midst of that abuse, I was born. I was conceived. And so I wasn't expected. I don't necessarily really know if I was wanted from some of the stories that I hear heard from my parents, but regardless, I was brought here for a reason. I was brought here for a purpose. I'm not a mistake. I'm not a mishap. Starley Bryant is the overcomer, alter ego in Chanel Walker Bailey. She is going to make her mark on this life.
Well, I think you have with Angels, The Discovery. And we encourage people to go to ChanelWalkerBailey.com. Again, as I said, we will be linked to her website. And we ask you to go there and see what she has to offer. It may be Starley Bryant may be a fictional pen name, but you're a published author, obviously, with this work. You're an internet television personality, as well as a blogger, motivational speaker, founder of Real Bold Truth Ministries, LLC. Tell us a little bit about that.
So the Real Bold Truth Ministry was birthed from the blog about 4 years ago. So there were some things in my life that I had not come come to peace with. Including some very, very painful times that happened in my past. And I really wanted to get rid of it. I had suffered from depression for quite a number of years, and I really, really wanted to get over it. I said, if Jesus and God did so much for me, there should be no reason why I'm in bondage with these feelings. So I began to write. Writing has always been a passion for me. I've written ever since I can remember. And so I started this blog, and I said, you know what? I'm going to make this a personal, public diary, and every pain and every situation that I've experienced, I'm going to give it to the world. I'm going to give my pain away. And so that's how Real Bold Truth was born. I have very real, very bold, very almost mouth-dropping testimonies on this blog that I have exposed to the public. And people have heard about the blog. They started signing up. They started reaching out to me and saying, oh my goodness, I'm so glad you gave this very unique testimony. I've gone through some of the same experiences. I appreciate your transparency and the whole nine. And then the blog ended up turning into a audio program. Now it's a visual program. Now there's a book, and there's just so much more. And I'm really excited about what God is going to do next with the ministry.
Well, it's extraordinary the things that start to develop when we get on our path and our purpose in life. And you obviously have hit it in. And you're definitely in stride and moving forward. You have also this particular book, Angels, has also won the Literary Titan Book Award.
It did, yes, that it won in March, just this past March.
And I'm curious as to how that felt, because the way you've described this, in spite of the fact that your name, pen name regardless, is on this work. You don't take, per se, credit for this work. This was I use this in a general way. This was inspired.
It was the whole thing. I mean, I would wake up weird hours in the morning with the next word and the next chapter. I was extremely intimidated with explaining God and heaven. And I asked all these questions like, how am I going to describe you? How am I going to describe heaven? I've never been there. How am I going to explain the activity of angels? I've never seen it. And so something down in the inside held my hand the entire time, and I would open up my laptop and my fingers would just begin to type a million miles a minute. And then I would stop and reread what I wrote, and I would be so overwhelmed. That's how I know it wasn't me in the natural. It was something else way beyond me.
In sports, they call that being in the zone. And
definitely.
You have a section in here that makes reference to 12 elements here. I'm curious if we can, before we wrap up the program, I'm seeing 10 here, that are listed here. And this is, it's on page 43, having to do with Heavenly Choir, Garment Cafe, Groundskeeper, Grooming Center, Landscaping, tour guides, administration and admissions, animal caretakers, apparel services, and teaching and training. Sounds like a small community of different tasks that need to be taken care of.
Man, it's not small. It's even larger than that. So a lot of times, you know, we have tasks and we have levels of service that we do here on earth. It doesn't end when we leave and we transition to heaven. We still have acts of service to accomplish when we're in heaven. But they are not anything that's forced, like some kind of 9-to-5 job that you're just going to for a paycheck and you really loathe doing every day. When you select your act of service that you want to be in your eternal life, it's something that you want to do. It doesn't feel like work. It grooms to your natural, you draw to it naturally. And that list that you found on that page is just a small list of some of the acts of service that those children that were in that classroom, I don't want to give it all away. You got to get the book.
Yes.
Got to choose from, you know, when they were told, okay, now you're here, you're in heaven. Now we're going to, you know, you got to find something to do, something that you love to do.
Yeah. And so to that end, let me ask you, what was the moment, that catalyst that said to you, I want, not I have to, but I want to be in service and of service.
You mean, and are you mean? You,
do in
you
your mean life, in your life as a believer, what was that moment?
That moment for me was when I finally took the reins back over my life to say, you know what, depression, oppression, no more. I am not going to live this way. And so when I began to get free, and when I did get free, and I got free not by myself, I was surrounded by a group of excellent, excellent people. I mean, mentors, spiritual people who have helped me to begin to see that the mental torment that I was going through was not of God, that it was coming from somewhere else. And as they began to help me to get free, I said, you know what? This is definitely my area of service while I'm here on this earth. I am not going to allow another person who was battling with depression or oppression or any kind of mental health issues that I have myself overcome, go through by themselves. I'm going to let them know my story. I'm going to be very transparent. I'm going to let them know that, you know, confessing that you are someone who is struggling with depression or struggle with oppression is not something to be embarrassed about. You don't have to, you know, draw to those labels. You can get free from this thing. I did it. Now, this is how you can do it if you're willing.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the program and sharing your story and your information, as well as your book, Angels, The Discovery. And we encourage folks to go to ChanelWalkerBailey.com. That's ChanelWalkerBailey.com. The pen name Star Lee Bryant is the author, if you will, the pen name of our guest here on the program. And I thank you so much for joining us here on the program. Before I let you go, I want to, first of all, I've got three final questions for you. But should you ever find yourself leaving that small little state of Delaware, you find yourself out here on the Central Coast, love to have you in studio to talk more about this.
Oh, I would love to, Richard. Thank you for the invitation. I will certainly keep that under consideration when I leave here.
Okay. And the final three questions that I have for you are, first of all, and I'm going to stick with your given name here. Who is Chanel Walker Bailey?
Well, Chanel Walker Bailey is an author. Again, she's a motivational speaker. She's an overcomer. She's a force to be reckoned with. She is a wife. She is a mother. She is a minister of the gospel. She is so many different things. I mean, I'm loving who Chanel Walker Bailey is today in comparison to the one who wondered what was the purpose of her life just maybe about 10 years ago. So I'm loving who Chanel Walker Bailey is today. So that's the nutshell of who she is. And you can find out more about that if you visit my website.
And again, that is ChanelWalkerBailey.com. Second question is, what is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
I'm hoping to give people inspiration and give people hope, especially those who are really feeling downcast and trodden about things that are going on in their lives. By telling my story again and being transparent about the things that I've experienced and letting them know how I overcame, that is my whole purpose of just providing hope and comfort and some peace, because the things that we endure in this life are not easy. They are very, very difficult. So any kind of hope and inspiration I can provide to help folks, that's what I really want to do.
Just a sidebar comment, and that is that people used to comment on some of my interviews, my gosh, you're revealing so much of your personal life. You shouldn't do that. And my thought was, well, wait a minute. First of all, God already knows, okay?
Yeah.
And besides, if 7.5 to 8 billion other people know too, what difference does it make? And besides, most of those people don't care. They're too busy just living their lives.
Exactly. You know. Exactly. That's what they say about me. Like, Chanel, why are you so transparent about some of your struggles with depression? Well, guess what? If you look up the statistics, there are more than 16 million, if not more, people also struggling with the same thing. We're just not talking about it. We're not being real about it. I just happen to be real about it, and I'm giving a whole lot of people some hope as a result.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we're human beings, and we've got lots of issues we're dealing with, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual.
Yep.
And we're all, in a sense, we're all the same because we're all human.
Yep, exactly. Nothing new under the sun.
Absolutely. Final question is, what is your life's purpose?
My life's purpose is definitely to do the will of God and what it is that He's called me to do. And I've said a lot of it during the course of our program, is to give hope and to give inspiration through my experiences with different life challenges. I'm listening for God every single day for Him to tell me what it is that He wants me to do next. But in a nutshell, it's to provide hope that you can get through this. I got through it. You can get through this too.
Chanel, thank you again so much for taking this hour and sharing with us here on the program. We greatly appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me again, Richard. It's been a pleasure.
I want to let our listeners know that if you're listening to the radio broadcast, there's more to this interview. I call it the afterview. And so go to richarddugan.com and the radio shows page, or SoundCloud or iTunes, and listen to the entire interview. We talked a whole lot more than what you'll hear in the 50 minutes of the radio broadcast. I'm Richard Dugan, and a quick reminder of the book, and that is called Angels, The Discovery. Starlee Bryant is the pen name of Chanel Walker Bailey, and it's .com for Chanel Walker Bailey. So please check out all that she has to offer, especially in regards to Real Bold Truth. And I'm Richard Dugan with you next Sunday and every Sunday, we hope. Until then, love to Lal.